Simon Tzadi Beisif Hey. Tipas Chalov Shenafel Alak Kedera Sheitzal Eish Mivachutz. If a drop of milk fell against the outside wall of a fleshika pot that's on the fire, Im Nafel Keneged Hatavshel, if it fell on the bottom part of the kli, where the Keneged, where the Tavshel is, so if the Tavshel goes halfway up the pot, it fell on the bottom half of the pot. Ein Tzarech L'Shishim Keneged HaTipa. All you need is that there should be a volume of meat in the pot, 60 Keneged, the volume of the drop of milk. Shemefafas Lefnim, because we view that drop of milk as though it'll travel into the pot, Favakilu Nafla B'Tavshel. So it's as though it fell directly into the Tavshel, and if it would fall directly into the Tavshel, it's enough that there should be Shishim in the pot Keneged the milk. Now there's a Yiboy D'Livshet on the Gemara in Zvachim, whether how blias travel through a pot, through the walls of a kli. Do we say that it's mefafeya bekol a kli or not? So if it's so, the shach explains the suffix of the gemara as follows: if we say that the blias travels are mefafeya throughout the pot, so then they'll become this battle in all the blias that you have in the pot. So here, if it's mefafeya bekulai, it'll become bottled in the walls of the pot. If it's not mefafeya bekulai, so then it'll go directly straight through the wall into the tavshil, and then it'll be like it fell directly into the tavshil. So maman of shach, you're okay over here. All you need is shishim, because the further it expands, the further it's mefafeya, it'll become bottle. Or we say that it'll go directly in and it'll become bottle. So maman of shach, in this case, if it falls connected to the tavshil, it'll become bottle. However, the Taz, he has a different understanding of the suffix of the Gemara, and he says that the suffix is either it's mispashet, either it spreads out, and they, okay, or else it just stays where it is and it won't go inside. So the tzad that it'll go into the tavshil is only if it spreads out, if it's mefafeya bekulai. If otherwise it stays where it is, so then it won't continue on any further. Now the Chachos Adam says that he's mitzaref this suffix of the Taz. He seems to pass him like the Taz. And he says, based on this Taz, we can make a following svek sveka. Let's say I don't know if there's shishim keneged the tipas chalav or not. So let's say I have in the pot, I have 60 kazesim of basar. And some amount of milk fell against the side of the pot. And I don't know whether I have, I don't know if it was a little bit more than a kazayas, a little bit less than a kazayas. So it's a suffix. So if it would have fallen directly into the pot, we'd have a suffik deraisa, we'd have to go to chumrah. But here we have a svek sveka. We have a suffik whether it's mefafeya lefnim, and we have a suffik where they have shishim. So the Chachos Adam says that would be a svek sveka, and one could be makel in such a case. Now the Chachos Adam says that even the shach, even though the shach over here seemingly disagrees, and says that either way it goes lefnim. However, in Siman Tzadi Zayin, there the shach seems to hold like the Taz. Mele, the Chachos Adam seems to hold that that's Iker, and therefore he paskins like the Taz. This has very big nafkaminas in a lot of cases, especially when you're dealing with steam systems, because all steam systems are always the water stays on one side and the product stays on the other side. So the steam, let's say, is heating up a kettle, so the jacketed kettle. So the tarfus is inside the kettle, and the steam is surrounds the kettle on the outside, but there's always a wall of metal in between. So, b'chlal, whether the blias of tarfus travel into that steam, according to Taz, is always going to be a suffix. We don't know if it's mefafeya bekulai or if it just stays b'mekaymai. So that's a suffix. If you could have another suffix along with it, then according to this Chachmas Adam, you would have a svek sveka here as well. So if you'd have a suffix shishim or other svekas, you could be mitzarif for a svek sveka. So therefore, that's a very big nafkamina, the fact that we follow this Taz. Now, there's another nafkamina between the Taz and the Shach over here that's brought. The Taz says that the need to kasher the kli is only a chumrah, because if it stays b'mekaymai, it doesn't even travel through. So the Taz says it won't travel through this time, it won't travel through next time either. If it doesn't travel, if it's not mefafeya, then it's not mefafeya. So memela, There's really no need to kashrut, provided I don't cook anything on the outside of my pot. So what, that there was a drop of milk that was nivled there? Even if I don't have shishim connected it, there shouldn't be a need, to kashrut. But according to the Shach, no, if for sure when it goes lefnim, so if for sure acid the pot, I do need to kashrut maker hadin. Now the Piskei Tshuva says over here that when I do kasher a pot, I need to kasher it from the outside, because the bliya only came in from the outside. The Chazon Ish, though, disagrees. He says that when you kasher a pot, it's maflit all the bliyas that are throughout the whole entire daifin of the pot. So therefore, it would be no need to kasher from the outside. L'chari should be enough to kasher it from the inside. But again, it could be that this Chazon Ish is saying that it might be going like the Shach, that Maman of Shach, it's Mavliya throughout. But if you hold like the Taz, like we were saying until now, that it might stay B'mekoymai, so then, and the whole need to, true, and in such a case, the need to kasher it is not, it would just be a Chumrah, but then you need to kasher it from the outside, because then Hagufa, that's the suffix over here. If the bliya doesn't travel in, so why should the water be mafleted, be mafleted either? It won't go out. You have to kasher it only from the side where the bliya went in. So like the Taz, that would make a lot more sense, the Chumrah of the Chashash of the Piskei Tshuva. Now the Mechaber continues over here. Vim nafla b'mokum harekon. However, if the bliya of milk fell on the upper half of the pot where there is no liquid, v'him mefafas b'dayfin ekateira. So then we have to be choishish that it's mefafeya throughout the walls of the pot ad samach l'raitiv, and it's mefafeya all the way until it comes into close proximity to the raitiv. Kol kach achay shishim keneged atipa, and it's mefafeya an area of that you don't have shishim keneged atipa. So that would be the area in which is mefafeya, and it'll leave a large blotch of iserdika section on the upper part of the pot. So harei neser oisem makom hakadera. So that section of pot would now become aser. V'mi era hatavshal derech makom hakadera. If you're going to pour out the soup over that splotch of area, shenesar harei yaser hatavshal. So that will aser the tavshal. Zetakanasei. So this is the etza. Yani chenukach v'lo yigabo achit etzanin. Leave it there until it cools down. Once it cools down, then you can pour it off or however you'd like. But if you do pour it beforehand, you don't know which section of the pot became usher from that drip of milk. And if you pour it over it, you're going to end up ushering your soup. So therefore, you may not do so. Hagad, the Rama continues, v'dafke makadera yishena. That's only if it's an old pot, meaning it was a pot that had already been used. Aval hi chadasha, if it's a brand new pot, b'kol inyan ein tzarech shishim rak neged hatipa shenafal alaha. If it's a brand new pot, then all you need, even if it falls above the reikon, even if it falls b'makam reikon, it means on the upper part of the pot, it's fine. All you need is 60 keneged the drop of milk. So the Shach asks over here, why is that true? Why is it enough if there's just shishim, if it falls keneged, if it falls on the top part of the pot? Why don't we say that every pot, once it's cooking meat, is already a yishena? It already absorbed bliyas throughout the pot. Who knows where those bliyas already went? So every pot, once it's cooking meat, is automatically. How do you ever have a chadasha? So Shach says that the answer is that the Ramah over here is coming from a Maman of Shach. If we hold that bliyas are mefafeya throughout the entire pot, so then, true, the bliyas went up of meat, ready traveled up on top, but then the tipa of chalav is also mefafeya bekulai, and it'll be mefafeya right into the tavshil, and it'll become bottle, so that wouldn't be an issue. Salamai, you have to be chayshish that the milk is not, that the meat is not mefafeya bekulai. Well, then the milk is also not mefafeya bekulay, and the milk will just stay on the top, and it won't aser b'shishim. There will be no other bliyas up there for it to spread out into, because it's a chadasha, and we have to assume that there are no bliyas of meat up there because the meat's not mefafeya bekulay. So therefore, maman of shach, you're okay. That's one mehalach that the Shach gives. The Shach gives two other mehalachim, either that we're talking about you first cooked water, and then the milk fell, and then you add the meat afterwards, or else that it fell when it was cold, and then you put it onto the pot onto the heat afterwards. Chizluza just makes a kimtas out of the case in order to explain the Ramah. But according to the first Mahalach, so then it's a lamda shachilik over here that Maman of Shach, you're okay. And that would be the explanation of the Ramah.